So welcome to all of you who are here and who are coming. And we are looking forward to being back in the building, hopefully by next week. But right now, everything is very uncertain. So we just don't know from one week to the next, who's going to be healthy and who's not going to be healthy, and how safe it is physically to be together. So I'm glad we have this way to be together. And happy that you could join us. Let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much that your love extends beyond anything we can imagine or think. I thank you that you are with us when we gather in your name, whether it's in the same building or from our homes through electronics, through Zoom, or however it is that we do it. And so we welcome you here tonight, Holy Father, Holy Spirit. And we invite you to meet us and to touch us and to move in our hearts. We want to be more like Jesus after we've been together tonight. And we want to honor you with every fiber of our being as we worship, as we pray, as we read your word, as we hear what you have to say to us through your Spirit. So we welcome you. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We bless you. We praise you for all that you accomplished on our behalf. And so now tonight, Holy Spirit, we look to you. Show us, Father, in fresh ways, I pray in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Well, I'd like to start tonight with a children's story. And so, children, can you talk to me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. All right, good. I'm glad to know that. I want to talk about nature a little bit. Okay. And do you know what I mean by nature?
Puppy?
Trees?
And grass?
Yeah, trees and grass. The outside world. That's animals. Nature, right? And I'd like you to think about some of your favorite things that are in nature, that are in that outside world. Can you name a couple of them for me?
Frogs.
What did you say? Stars?
I said water.
Water, okay. Spoken like a true fisherman?
Yeah,
bushes.
What else?
Flowers.
Flowers? Yeah, flowers are beautiful, aren't they?
Turtle.
Turtle.
And tortoises.
And tortoises? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And frogs.
Frogs?
Yeah, and lizards.
Okay. Well, there are so many things I like. The things you named, some of the animals. There's some animals I could do without, you know, like mosquitoes and gnats, snakes, things like that. Or at least I think I could, but apparently God thought I couldn't because he made them. And another thing that I really enjoy is the stars. And I love going outside on a very dark night when the sky is clear and the stars are out and you can see them. And when I look up at the stars, I think about how awesome God is, that he made all those and that he looks down on them, that he's even above the stars. And I think how far away they are and how awesome and mighty God is. And that's true of lots of things in nature. When I see trees, I think of that. We lived in Oregon for a while, and there were some really big trees in Oregon. Some of those trees were a couple hundred feet tall, and there was a tree not far from our house that three grown men stretched their arms out to reach around it and touched fingertip to fingertip, and I'm not sure that the three of us got quite all the way around it. We might have, But when I reach out as far as I can, that's 6 feet. And so if there were three of us and we could each reach 6 feet, that tree was 18 feet around. That's a huge tree. And that was just one tree. And there were probably millions of trees in Oregon that were that size, and some were even bigger. And others, of course, were smaller, but all different sizes and all varieties. And then I look at birds and I look at fish and just all kinds of animals. And it's just amazing. Every one of them is something that God made. And do you know that nature speaks? Did you ever hear a tree talk to you?
No.
Did you ever hear a star say hello?
No.
No, we don't, do we? Or you didn't ever walk up to a deer and have it say, oh, hi, Eliza, I'm so happy to see you.
No.
Or Anna or Isaiah or Josiah or Lydia or Renee or any of our names, right? No, they don't talk with their voices, but their very presence speaks loudly about God and about his presence and about his incredible power and his awesomeness, that he was able to create all those things and that he could figure out how to make them and how to make them all work together. That's just amazing to me. Every time I look at creation, that I look at nature, I have to see the creator. I have to see that God made it, and he is so far beyond anything I can think of because he was able to put all that together and it works so well together. You know, we don't ever have the moon bump into the sun when it goes around the earth, do we? No, that would be terrible. But it always is on its own orbit and it's in the right place at the right time, and you can depend on it. And that's what God is. He's dependable and he's incredible because he created all of that nature for us to enjoy. So when you go outside the next time and you see those favorite things, think about God. And tell him how thankful you are and how happy you are that he made those for you to enjoy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have given us nature and creation to enjoy and to take care of and to celebrate you. And I pray that as we see all your handiwork, all that you created, that our hearts will be just full of love and joy toward you and what you've given us. Thank you. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. For a message tonight, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 19. I have to open my Bible too. Okay, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. I'm in the New International Version, and you're welcome to follow along, whatever. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Wow. That's just what I've been saying in the children's story, is that when we see the skies, when we see nature, we see God at work and what he's done. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the world, their words to the ends of the world. Now, I want us to stop and think about that for a little bit. That's just what I've been saying in the children's story about the sky speaking to us or trees talking to us. They don't have voices, but they speak. Now, let's understand that the Psalms are poetry. And the things that are written here are not meant to be necessarily literal or scientific. So if a scientist reads this, he says, trees can't talk, stars can't talk. And as the way people talk and the way animals communicate, he's right. But what the psalmist is saying is, in his own language, in his own ways, he's saying that seeing the stars, seeing the trees speaks to God's existence and to God's glory and his majesty and his might and his great love for us. And so the trees say so much, the sky says so much, and yet it doesn't speak a word. Excuse me. So in the heavens, he goes on, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. So David is saying what I'm hearing David say. Let's put it that way. What I'm hearing David say is that when it's night, it's like God's pitched a tent for the sun and it goes in and hides and it goes to sleep for 12 hours or for whatever the time is until it comes out of the tent again and marches across the sky for us. We know that's not literally true, but that's the picture David had. And that's what he's telling us about his description of the world from his perspective. So the thing that we can know is that I just like this language, that it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. And that's what we see the sun. The sun is always the champion. The sun is always victorious. When the sun is up, the darkness is gone. And the darkness never defeats the sun. Now, yes, there are times when we have clouds in the sky and the sun's not shining bright, but we still have light during the day. The only time it gets dark during the day is when there's a full eclipse of the sun by the moon. And then we'll have darkness for a short period of time. But as long as the sun is in the sky, we're going to have light. And light always triumphs over darkness. That's something we can depend on. That's something that we can trust. And that can be applied to every aspect of our lives. Light will triumph over darkness. God is light. Evil is darkness. God always triumphs over evil. So, and then the other statement here, that nothing is deprived of its warmth. You know, that's such an awesome statement. God doesn't show favoritism. God, another scripture tells us that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. When it rains, it doesn't just rain on the Christians' farms and grounds. It rains on everybody's farms and grounds. And that's the way God is. He extends his love to everyone. His grace and his mercy is extended throughout all the earth. It's there for everyone and anyone to receive and accept and appreciate. And that's just the way God is. And it's the same way with the sun. When the sun is out and it's making the sky warm, it's for everybody to enjoy. And I'm so thankful for that. It doesn't depend on me being right or being good. It depends on God's goodness and his kindness and his generosity. And if you ever wonder about God's faithfulness, about his goodness, about his mercy or his grace, just feel the warmth of the sun and think about it. God's warming me. God's warming everyone that will step out and enjoy the sunshine. It seems the psalmist shifts gears here a little bit in verse 7. He goes into this. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous." You know, this was written in the Old Testament times when God spoke to the people through the law. And if we look back a little bit here to Exodus chapter 20, that's where God gives the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. I'd like us to look at that just a little bit. And because this is the law that David was talking about in the Psalm. And at least it's a good portion of it. It's the foundation of it. There are many other laws and rules and commands that God has made in the Old Testament. And I'd just like us to review this a little bit, because it says, "And God spoke all these words." When God speaks, he speaks the truth, and he speaks with authority. You know, as children, we grew up in homes, hopefully, with parents. Sadly, there are some children that grew up without parents, but I think for the most part, all of us had one or two parents in the house the whole time. And we learned to trust and to respect our parents. And when our parents told us something, we believed it. And if our parents gave us direction or instruction or told us to do something, we did it. We might not have liked it. We might not have enjoyed it. Sometimes we didn't think it was fair, but we did it because they were the parent. They were the authority. And we knew that they loved us. And we knew that they wouldn't tell us to do something that was going to cause us harm, so we could trust them. Well, that's the way it is with God and his statements to us. When he makes a law or a statute or a command, he's doing it for our benefit. He's doing it for our good. He's doing it to help us live a successful and a fulfilling life. And he means it. When our parents tell us to go make our bed, they don't tell us, you know, if you feel like it, you're looking for something to do and you can't think of anything else to do, maybe you'd like to go make your bed. That's not the way my parents ever did it. No, it was always, "Earl, go make your bed." And then Earl would go make his bed. Or, "Earl, need to cut the grass." And eventually Earl would cut the grass. And whatever it was. And that's the way it is with God. When he gives us a command, he gives us an instruction, he expects us to follow it. And God's commands, his instructions, are not suggestions, and they're not limited by time. You know, I was told by a man one time, how can you expect people to live this way when I was calling them to faithfulness to God's word and obedience to God's directions, God's laws? And he said, "It's the 90s. And I said, "What was the 90s 100 years ago? What's your point?" And that's what we need to see, is that God's instructions, God's directions, God's commandments are for eternity. They're for all time. And he's expecting us to live in accordance with them. But just for refresher, God spoke all these words: "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Now, in a New Testament time, as Christians, we might say, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery to sin. And I redeemed you and I paid the price for your sins and I've removed your sin. And that's something we celebrate. And that's something that is similar to what Israel experienced when they came out of Egypt and into the promised land. So I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. How many times have we heard that God visits the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation? But when was the last time you heard that God shows his love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments? We need to put those two together. We can't have one without the other. And we need to understand that God's love triumphs over anything that it comes. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Wow. Did you ever realize how much space was given to the commandment about keeping the Sabbath day holy and remembering it? I mean, if you've got this in front of you, you're looking at more space or as much space as all we've read before and more space than what we're going to read after this to read the Ten Commandments. God was serious about rest, and we can overwork ourselves. God gave us rest for our well-being, not to punish us, not to make us poor, but to give us health and to allow us to refurbish ourselves and renew our strength. And it's right and good and proper for us to take a day of rest. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring parents, so important to God. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commands that God gave his people, and he expects us to live by them today. Now, we live by them out of relationship. We don't live by them by saying, okay, all right, I've got to tell the truth this time because God said. No, we tell the truth because it's who we are. We tell the truth because we're our father's son and we're like our father. And our father is the one who called us to be like him. And he is truth. And so because of our love for the father and our desire to be like him, we're simply honest. And it's so much easier to live life when you're honest than when you're a liar, because we don't have to remember what we said. We just have to remember what happened and tell it again. And it's the same way with every one of these commands that God gave us. Then he goes on, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. You see, that's what happened when God showed up on the mountain. There was thunder and lightning and earthquakes and smoke on the mountain. And they knew then that God's voice was there. God was there, and they were fearful. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Look at the respect that they had for God. They were afraid to hear his voice. Do you see what Jesus did for us? He bridged the gap between us and God. In the Old Testament, people were afraid to hear God's voice because they knew how holy he was and how unholy they were, and how that they would perish in the very presence of God. But because of God's great love for us that he showed in Jesus, and Jesus paying the price for our sins on the cross, we have free access to God. We can hear his voice. We welcome his voice. We can talk to him. And it's because of what Jesus did for us. We still need to respect and honor God, just as the Israelites did. We need to understand God's awesomeness and live in awe, A-W-E, awe of God, because he is incredible, and he is holy, and he is without sin. He's spotless, and sin cannot exist in his presence. But thankfully, when Jesus cleanses us and washes us, our sin is gone. And then we're free to be in God's presence. And we don't need to fear his voice and tremble at it and say, "Oh, I don't want to hear from you, God, because I'll die." No, we do want to hear from God so that we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," so that we can hear any words of correction that he might want to say to us, or any words of direction that he may want to give us. And then just the affirmation, the encouragement that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of God in that sense. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Now, understand that darkness was not God. And that darkness was there to keep the people from seeing the very presence of God, the very person of God, that would have destroyed them. And so God, if you will, cloaked himself with darkness to protect the people, because we're told that sin cannot be in the presence of God, and it would be destroyed. And you cannot look at God and live, the Old Testament tells us. So the people were fearful of that, and God had the darkness there, not because it was part of his character or part of who he was, or that it was stronger than him. No, he had it there to protect the people from himself, from his perfection, from his glory, from his goodness, that would have been more than they could have handled. Wow, what a God we serve. Thank you, Jesus, for all you accomplished, that we don't need to fear God in that sense. So the decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. When he says they're firm, that means they're there to stay. And it also means they're dependable. We can stand on them. We can have them as a solid foundation for our life. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. The Ephesians 5 gives us the fruit of the Spirit, and it ends up saying, "Against such there is no law." Well, there's no law that keeps us from obeying God's commands either. It's lawful, it's right, it's good. You know, if everybody obeyed God's laws, God's rules for living, imagine what a peaceful world we would have. Oh well, we don't live there. So here's what David has to say about these commands, these statutes, these decrees of the Lord. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Wow. The psalmist says that God's laws, God's decrees, God's statutes are more precious than gold. So I guess if that's true, a day spent worshiping God, listening to him, studying his word, being in relation to him, is more valuable than a day at work. That's a different thought. Sure, we need to work. We need to support our families. And I'm not suggesting that we stop doing that. But we neither may put our work ahead of God. We have to have time for God in our lives. We have to take time. We have to make time for him. Because his words are more precious than gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. You know, I think of what Jesus said when he was with the woman at the well. The disciples had gone into town to get lunch. And when they came back out, they said, you know, Lord, you know, aren't you hungry? Don't you want lunch? He said, I have food that you know nothing about. And later he said, my bread is to do the will of the Father who sent me, the one who sent me. And so obedience to God was what Jesus fed on. It was sweeter to him than honey. It was more precious to him than gold. It was the most important thing in his life. So God's decrees are firm. All of them are righteous, more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So we get warning from God's direction, from his instructions, and we get rewarded by keeping God's commands and being who he has called us to be. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden thoughts, faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. That's similar to David's words in another psalm when he said, search me and know me. Know my thoughts, know my ways, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to us anything that keeps us from the Father as we ask him to, as we listen to him and his direction. We call it our conscience, but it's more than a conscience. It's a Holy Spirit-directed conscience that will point out errors in our lives if we're honest and listen and truly desire to know what those things are. So that's David's encouragement to us about keeping the rules, the laws of the Lord. And then he closes, he sums it up with this. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I would encourage us to have that as our prayer, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, be pleasing in God's sight. You know, if our words and our meditations are pleasing in God's sight, I'd say we're living by God's statutes. We're obeying his laws and his rules and his decrees. because that's what it takes to please the Lord and to be who he calls us to be. I'm so thankful too that when we mess up, we're not kicked out of the family, but we can experience God's grace, his forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. We can be cleansed and washed and get back to that pure state where the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart are pleasing to the Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you are a faithful and true God, that you are just, you are righteous, you are holy, that you are love, you are grace, you are mercy, you are kindness, you are gentleness, you are good. Father, I pray that our heart's one desire will be to worship you, to live for you, to live in right relationship with you, knowing that as we're right with you, we'll be right with those around us too, because that's your will for us. That's your heart for us. It's part of your plan for us, is to live in right relationship with the people around us. Father, our nation is in turmoil right now, and we so desperately need the presence of your Holy Spirit to bring peace, to bring direction, and to bring overcoming victory to this land. I pray that through all of this turmoil, the name of Jesus will be lifted high, and that your purposes will be accomplished in ways that couldn't have been done any other way. So our prayer is, Holy Spirit, keep coming. Keep doing your work in the land. Keep calling us to faithfulness, calling us to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, as it's in his name we pray. Amen. Who has a testimony or a prayer concern that you would like to share with us, or some response or something you want to say about the message?
We have a lot of work to do. Living to do.
Granddad says we have a lot of work to do, a lot of living to do. All right. Well, thank you for coming tonight, and God bless you all with an awesome, awesome week. And hopefully next week we're together in the building and get to enjoy each other's company. Have a great night.